My son, be attentive to my words. Proverbs 4, chapter 4, verse 20. Be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Keep them, or let them not escape your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all the flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you all crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze straight before you. So I'm going to ask, first of all, we're going to drop the screen because right after this we got a totally killer video for you on Veterans Day. We're going to break down a couple of things that Solomon is telling us to take heed to as the Lord has divulged it to him. So he said, make sure that you're attentive to my words. Make sure that you listen to the word. Make sure that you understand that every time the word is being preached, whether it's in Bible study, whether it's in church or children's church or the Christmas choir, take heed to it. Attend to it. Get involved in it. Let them not escape your sight. That means we need to keep our eyes on this word and not just hear it only and keep it in your heart. I want to talk to you about sight. So some of you, like me, as you grow older, you find out that you need glasses. Reading. They're just reading glasses. Say that. I use them for just reading. I use them for just reading. So after I got in, I got to tell the story, Gary, and I'll get back to the scriptures. After I was in my tree stand yesterday, and the weather was horrible. It was raining, it was windy, and I was in a stand that actually swayed back and forth. Do this with me, sways back and forth. And when you're younger, you never think about these things. It's swaying back and forth, and I go, you know what, I don't know if I said goodbye to my whole family, because this thing could snap in any time. And it was raining and everything, so I was cold, and when I got back into the bunkhouse, Larry, I was turning the thermostat up, turning the heat up in the bunkhouse so it would warm up just a little bit. And it's the thermostat now. We've graduated from just the kind where you move across there, or the old Mercury switch or one of those, into digital. Say that with me, digital. And it's illuminated with blue. Yeah. See that puppy from across the room. Until I wanted to go in and I wanted to move the temperature up, but I couldn't really make out what the thermostat said. It was illuminated for everybody else but me, because I didn't have my glasses with me. So I thought it was 3D. So I went to the side and looked at it from the side. Still no good. Slick, listen to this. And then I stooped to new levels. I got underneath the thermostat to see what it said under there. And then I just pressed it and just threw caution to the wind. And the heat worked out fantastic. Amen? So I didn't have my glasses with me, so I was just hitting buttons that I couldn't make sense out of. And here we go. It says, make sure that these things don't escape your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to find them and healing to the flesh. Let us pray. Father God, we just pray that this word, Lord God, will illuminate the things in our life that we need to know about. We pray that we keep them before our sight. We hide them in our heart, and we're attentive to listening to them whenever someone is preaching them. And we ask, Father God, to bless our country today and bless all the veterans that are here today and those who are in the deer stand and those who are at home. We thank you so much for their service and ask you to bless our offering today. In thy name of Jesus, we pray today. Amen. Amen. Applaud the Lord. Let the offering be picked up. Roll the video loud and proud.
Three teens were arrested today for defacing the Kensington Park War Memorial overnight. The destruction includes painted messages against the military and the war in the Middle East. The three teens were picked up in the early morning hours after evidence was left at the scene.
Grandpa, something wrong?
It's
Some people sure have short memories, and those who are too young to know need to be taught. Come on, I want to show you guys something.
God and country, I learned to defy gravity.
To honor my family,
I lived in the belly of a beast.
I fixed the hearts of iron monsters.
I became a worm in the mud for dignity.
For honor.
For righteousness' sake.
For God and country.
I fought for you.
I fought for you.
For you.
I fought for you.
I fought for you.
I fought for you.
I fought for you.
For you.
For you.
For you.
For you.
I fought for you.
I fought for you.
I fought for you, and I do it again.
Would you remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? As we turn up the house lights. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Let's thank God. You may be seated. So, wanted to thank everybody for being here today. And as we honor our veterans, want to bring a couple of the deacons down that have some gifts that we're going to give. Deacons come down with some of the gifts that we're going to give our veterans. If you're a veteran and you've served our country, would you guys rise right now, please, so we can honor you and give you guys a gift? Let's give it up for our veterans that are here today. Thank you, thank you. And you remain standing. I'm going to have Brother Mark and Brother Tim pass out our gifts, and Brother Greg Steiger. Let's continue to applaud these guys until everybody gets their gifts. Come on, let's give it up for these guys, all our veterans. Thank you, thank you. Somebody thank them. Come on, guys. Till everybody gets their gift. Come on, we can thank them. Come on, help us out. Help us out. Help us out. Come on. Put your hands together. All right, we all may be seated. Thank you guys so much. Thank you. And we have, I'm sure there's several people who are online today that are veterans who are watching. So thank you so much. If you're at home, we love you and God bless you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll be going into Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. So Father God, we ask you on this Veterans Day that we remember all who have fought for our country. Father God, we want to remember that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross for our sin, the ultimate soldier with the ultimate sacrifice. We thank you for that. We thank you for truth. We thank you for living in the United States of America, where we could raise our family to praise God freely from persecution. And we ask, Father God, today that you would show yourself to all the people who are gathered here today and online. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So applaud the Lord one more time and our veterans. So when we were saying the Pledge of Allegiance, I want to break a couple of the things down for you, not that you need them broke down, but I thought I'd highlight them. When it says that we're taking a pledge, allegiance to the flag, Larry, that means we have allegiance to the United States of America and all that it represents and all that you guys have fought for. We have allegiance to that. And here's the deal. We have to be mature about that and understand that we won't always like the same thing as our friends, but nonetheless, we're all Americans and need to stand for freedom. So in that, I want to talk to you briefly about this, that freedom is not inherited, it's fought for.
Amen.
It doesn't mean just because we live in a free nation now that your kids are going to inherit a free nation. If your kids don't fight for it, we'll end up with tyranny or a king trying to rule over us. And the only king in the United States of America is Jesus Christ himself. We have no king that rules over us and never will if we fight for our freedom. Now, let me explain a few more things. Because in the Pledge of Allegiance, it talks about one nation being under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It talks about us being a republic. And a lot of times people don't understand what a republic is. A republic is where the people have the supreme power. Amen. The people have the supreme power and not governments or dictatorships. So the power that we have and we possess, we relinquish to those who rule amongst us, but not over us, or lord or kingship over. Sometimes, as we go through society, sometimes governments or local governments try to overreach into our personal lives, whether it would be our businesses or our churches or sometimes even our own homes, where they think they know best about how many people need to be in your house during the holidays. Last time I checked, you are the one who pays the mortgage at your house. You are the one that pays the taxes at your house. So for that reason, you govern over your house. And this land will remain free as long as you stand for it. And we stand united. So this message is not just a spiritual message. It's all about standing for the things that are right and things that are honorable. And to remember the country that we live in is based on a republic where the people have supreme power. And that's the definition of a republic. So the Apostle Paul has basically given young Timothy in the church of Ephesus it's almost like a constitution. It's almost like a declaration of independence. Because he says, if you don't stand for the word of God, the enemy will take over. So that's important. So here's what he writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God, say whole, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil places. Therefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil. And having done all to stand firm, stand. Therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as for shoes for your feet, have the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer, with all supplication. To that end, be alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Look at your neighbor and say, stay alert. Stay alert. And also for me, that the words may that they may be given to me, opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So this is the word of the Lord. Amen. So here, as we work backwards for just a second, we need to be able to speak this word boldly and with confidence. I'll tell you what, I want to let you know for sure that the enemy's out there right now and he's standing very bold. And if you decided to just kind of sit idle and just kind of here's what some people think. Let's just let it work itself out. Did you ever think that we'd be having these type of conversations in 2020 about how many people can be in your own home? I can't even get that out of my mouth. Somebody needs to wake up at this church today. When somebody is telling you, Tim, and regulating how many people you can have in your own house, we've let this thing go way too far. You've let it go way too far. And I don't mean like just a little too far. It's way too far. Living in America, I'm a free man. I'm a free man. And you're a free man or free lady. And all those people that you've seen on the screen fought for your freedom. Amen. And some of them have died. Some of the people that you've been in war with died for our freedom. They're not asking you to die for your freedom. They're just asking for you to rise up and start living in it. Amen. Amen. Here's the deal. It's time for God's people's voice to be heard. Amen. It's time for God's people to rise and call the truth and a lie a lie. You know what? I think sometimes when some of the veterans in our church and some of the veterans that I pray for or some of my family members who have fought and died a very slow death for this country's freedom. And I have one particular uncle who died over Agent Orange, and it was a very slow death. I think the kids of America need to see and remember people that have put it all on the line for their freedom. And don't think for a second that the enemy, whether it be foreign or domestic, ain't coming for some of your freedom. So here's how he warns you. He warns you, he warns me, he warns young Timothy. And what basically what he's saying here today, Slick, is he said, when you get in the pulpit, young Timothy, you need to be strong in the Lord. You need to be strong in the Lord. This is not a position here, the pulpits of America, where pastors need to bend and sway just to go along to get along. They need to be truth tellers and truth seekers. So he's prepping young Timothy for the days ahead. He said it's going to get rough out there. And I want to tell all you young people, just like the commanding officers of the veterans that are here today, they had an assignments. They were asked to do something, and quite frankly, they were told to do things on most occasions. And at no time did I believe their commanding officer walked up to them and asked them how they feel today. When you're fighting a war, you have to get over your feelings. You have to go fight, and it might not be for you, but it might be for the next generation or the generations to come. Amen. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy right here in this scripture today, church. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So here in this text, he's saying, I'm not asking you to stand in your own might. I'm asking you to stand in the might of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because some of these things that we do out here, we need God's help in. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the schemes of the devil. Now I want you to listen to this for just a second. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against cosmic powers over this present darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So I want to let you know right now, we're not fighting against human beings. We are fighting against human beings that are possessed by the evil one. Oh, sometimes, look at me for a second, church. Sometimes we get really mad at people. Amen. If you know what I'm talking about, just say amen. We're easy to get mad. Easy to get mad. Yeah, we're mad. We're mad at our boss. We're mad at the pastor. I'm mad at this. I'm mad at the politician. I'm mad, 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 mad. Here's the deal. What's happened is we forgot that the outside influence has developed a whole new scheme. And it's straight from the pit of hell. Because we know nobody could ever talk like the way some of these people talk, especially on the internet, if they had the Spirit of God in them. I'll just put it that way. Amen? When you hear some foul language come from somebody, you have got to know that came straight from the pit of hell, the chamber of the abyss. Amen? So they're influenced or they're intoxicated by the presence of the enemy. So I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I'm not your enemy. I want you to say that to him right there. A lot of times we think that this, because they're from this side or that political party, that they're the enemy and everything. Here's the deal. They have been influenced by the enemy. And as he moves along into 6:13, he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil. And having done all, stand firm. So we are to remain firm. And what that means, I interpret that, is not giving an inch. Say that with me. Don't give an inch. Here's the analogy that I used. And I'll use like a physical I'll use like a physical demonstration. So my mom, after I spent most of my time being grounded. My young years and my teenage years, I spent the majority of it, Gary, just being grounded, just because I was just a bad student. So I was grounded most of the time. And I could work on my mom. My mom was the kind of person who loved me so much. She looked, and if you're a mom and you can relate to this, she looked over my faults or my shortcomings. My dad did not. So what my mom would sometimes, like Pam, she would allow something until dad got home. You know, I told you about the levels of groundedness. Grounded means you're on the property. Real grounded means you're in the house. Kitty jail was being in your bedroom. And bedrooms back then were the ultimate torture chamber. Because back when I was growing up, you didn't have TV or Game Boy or anything. I had a dresser. That was it. So what I did is I got really smart about just seeing if I could get my dad to give an inch. He said, you can become ungrounded when I see your report card. Say that with me, report card. Listen to this, Slick. When me and you went to school, Pattonville made a boo-boo. They handed out the report cards to the students, and they told you to bring them home to your mom and dad. Well, here's the deal with the report cards. I had a pen the same color as the one they filled it out with. And being the worst student in the history of my school, I went straight from an F all the way to an E. Look at me for a second. Just say this with me. That's not possible. And my dad said the same thing, so it never happened. So applaud the story anyways. It was pretty cool. Sit back down. That's sympathy. But given an inch, you can wear your mom down. If you do it slowly, that's what the enemy's trying to do with society, with the church, with the schools, with the business, and going out of your house. Do, 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 do. Say amen if you watch The Twilight Zone. Amen. Scariest thing in the world. Channel 9. That was one of the three channels you had if you had tinfoil on your antenna. Somebody say amen. Amen. And we were the channel changer at the house. Yeah, we had a remote. Get up and change it. Somebody say amen. Amen. So slowly the way he comes in. And his job is to get you to believe that he doesn't exist. So if he gets you to believe he doesn't exist, what he'll do is just get you to start sipping the Kool-Aid little by little. Taking some of your freedom little by little. And you go down the list, that's what he does. And here's when he comes knocking on your door, the devil comes knocking on your door, and he's trying to sell you something. Say, I ain't buying what you're selling, Jack. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, what is it? It's a duck. So there, he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. And back in 13, the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil. Having done all to stand, stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth. Do this with me. Belt of truth. Big old belt. If you're reading King James, it would say, make sure that your loins are girded. Your loins.
loins are girded. They're protected. The loins are in the back, and these two big hunks of meat, they protect the spine where your central nervous system is, and your very DNA comes from a place that's called marrow. Those are very vital organs. If you're a boxer and you get hit in those loins right there, a body shot can not only disable somebody, but it can actually drop them right where they're at. So he said, make sure that your loins are girded with this truth. And here's the deal: the truth is the truth, even if nobody's telling it. You'll get it in a second. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness and as shoes for your feet. And if you go to a Pentecostal church, they'd say, make sure that you got your shouting shoes on. Having put on the readiness and given the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Say that with me. Take up the shield of faith. And we're gonna go back to this, and we're going to talk about the shield of faith. He says, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And we know there's a lot of darts getting thrown out there in our society today. Amen. We need to make sure that we have our shield of faith. And take the helmet of salvation. I want to talk to you real quick about the helmet of salvation. I mentioned this on the Overcomer Hour if you watch the show. And my partner on that show is Mike Sr., who's a Vietnam vet. And I talked about that, having the helmet of salvation on. And I said, Mike, that's probably... That's probably a very vital, important part of being in war, is making sure that you had this helmet on. He's talking about a helmet of salvation, but make sure that you have your helmet on, because that's a very vital place. And I said, I'm sure you've seen some bullets deflected off of it or whatever the case may be. And he didn't really say nothing. So I know that was a very special part of the uniform. So I want to tell you a story here real quick. So getting back to making sure that we hold all these things near and dear, close to our heart, because the enemy's coming after our freedom. He's coming after our churches. He's coming after your holidays and all this. And I thought about this. So I was at North last week, and I was preaching a message, and there were three young kids that were in the back of the church, and all of them together probably didn't grace 60 years of age. So, I mean, they were all about 20 years old. And I was actually in the pulpit, and I was given this salvation message about, would you like to give your life to Jesus Christ? And the one young person raised their hand up, and they gave their life to Jesus Christ last week at the 11:30 service at Have Bible Will Travel. Now, so the reason I brought that up is because I want you to know that this piece of this puzzle, this local church, is so important, not just for me and you, but maybe it'll be your kids that show up there next week and want to hear a gospel message, and there needs to be somebody in that pulpit that's given them the truth so they can make their own decision if they want to be saved or not. Amen? So that's very important that we continue to do that, and we can't have preachers in the pulpit that sway with the landscape that's going on out there in the world today. So all that being said, we got a couple more verses, and I'm going to ask us all to rise up, and we're going to do something that I haven't done before, and I'm just going to kind of do this kind of spontaneous. So everybody rise up where you're at right now, and then I'm going to ask Jackie or Greg to put on some music in the back, and then what I'm going to ask all our veterans to do is just kind of take seats across the stage. And what that's going to represent today is how hard we need to fight like our veterans do. So if the veterans would just kind of come down here and just sit, just make yourself be known, just sitting down here. And you can applaud all of them that are coming down here. All the ladies, just take a chair. And then I'm going to ask my pastors to come down, because I'm going to be doing the same altar call that I did last week up there. And we're going to bring the house lights down, if you would, Jonathan, here. I want to talk about some of these veterans, and I don't know all of them. And let's drop that music down just a fuzz, just a little bit. So as I read just a little bit more about taking on the helmet of salvation and keeping the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, so the sword of the Spirit. So I tell my family and tell my church family and the deacons and the pastors of this church to make sure that you always have this with you. Whether you're in a truck or you're on a bike. Because this is, like I said before, whether we believe it or not, this is the truth is the truth. And I wanted to let you know something, Karen and Slick. I want you to know something. There's going to be a test at the end of time on this book. And I want to make sure each week before they leave, Scott, that everybody knows how to get in this place that we talk about, this place called heaven, where there's no more lying, there's no more crying, there's no more tears, there's no more. And I want to lift up my buddy, brother Bill Jeffries, who's and his wife are probably watching from home, and he's a Vietnam vet as well. And I just be praying for him, if you would, please. I've only been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ for about 20 years, and I never would have dreamed that we would be where we're at in church life right now. I always heard that they were going to come for the truth, and they were going to come for our church, and they were going to come for our freedom, but I didn't think it was going to happen that quick. And here it is right now. And the people that have fought for our freedom are people like these veterans and our deacons and our pastors. They're fighting for freedom. So when you see them, or maybe you have an aunt or an uncle like I do, multiple of them, that went out there and put it all on the line, man, that means a lot to me. It means a lot to me. It's everything to me. And not just these guys and gals, but also our police departments out there. And they need to be lifted up, and they need to be prayed for. And all our first responders that are taking care of everybody. Man, can't we be praying for these people? And God love all the teachers. Don't you believe the teachers need to be teaching your children? Guys, these are simple things. We're not asking for, we're just asking for honesty and truth and togetherness. So I'll get to the end of my story here in just a second. So the Apostle Paul's getting young Timothy, and I feel like I'm getting you guys ready. And we got a lot to do. So what's the best thing I've ever done in my life? Is preach the Word of God and lead people to Jesus Christ. Amen. And it don't matter if I have anything at all. If I got the gospel of Jesus Christ, I am so happy. And I want to tell you this right now. If you don't have Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, I'm going to ask you a very straightforward question. Wouldn't you like to receive Jesus? Because we know that the death rate on planet Earth is 100%. Everybody's going to die. Where you end up is completely up to you. So here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, and I'm going to ask Jackie to turn up the music just a little bit. So here's my prayer for you today. If you would like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to stay right where you're at, because I'm more concerned about your soul than I am anything right now. And what I want you to do is I want you to just be bold. So if you can never remember a time when you gave your life to Jesus, you'd say something like, yeah, I gave my life to Jesus at church, or I was at a Bible study, or I was by myself even. However that happened, that's up to you. However you do, whether it's in church or out of church, doesn't matter. So let's say that you remember all that. For some of you that are out there today, you go, I've never done that. I've never asked Jesus to be my Lord and be my Savior. He says that we need to confess with our mouth. Would you like to receive Jesus today as your Lord and Savior right where you're at? Whether you're here or you're online or you're at Deer Camp, I want you to just be bold right here when I count to three. One, two, three. Raise your hand just right where you're at. Just keep your eyes closed and just raise your hand. And I'm going to pray for you. So, Father God, right now for that person that wants to give their life to Jesus, I thank them for being bold. Lord, everybody gets saved the same way. They finally realize there's a point in their life where their sin is offensive to you. And the remedy for that is the blood of Jesus Christ, my friend. This is the best decision you'll ever make. and there's somebody here in our midst today who wants to get saved, let's pray for them right now and let's applaud that decision right now. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb.
So here's what we're going to do.
Here's what we're going to do. All of us that are veterans for the Bible here, let's pray for that person right now. Father God, we are so excited that that person acknowledges that they're a sinner and they just want to give their life over to Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I want you to take my life. Oh, man. God, I want you to do something with my life. I want you to come into my heart, and then I want you to help me live for you. I accept you now in the payment that you paid on the cross at Calvary, and you spilled out your blood for my sin. I accept that. I receive that, and I believe in that. And that makes me a believer now. It makes me your child. And I pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus today. And all God's people said amen.